Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend. I think that's all of like LA and Orange County venues of sporting events, theaters, all that shit. They all just need better food.
I think the reason they don't have like great food because they got all them damn restaurants right there. That's probably why they're like, yeah,
you
ain't even better.
You know what? You might be onto something now. I didn't think about that, but like, but for like LA, they like, because most of these sporting events and movie theaters and shit, they're always like in like a little
center or like a outlet center, like something like that. Yeah.
And maybe it's like a deal they have with like the, look, we all trying to be funny here. You open up your restaurants, we get you to dinner in a movie or a dinner in a game or something like that, like Stable Center or the Crypt. They like, look here, we'll let y'all open up all these ESPN or whatever restaurants over here and shit, but we're going to charge these tickets like a crazy shit. We're just going to sell them some chicken tenders. You want some high priority food wrappers.
And when a theater chain, they try to do like the upscale dining thing, the food actually just sucks, like IPIC.
Yeah, oh, IPIC. I remember when IPIC first opened over there, he used to be badass, man. He used to be clean. He'd be like, woo-wee, get a little steak on the side or whatever. Nowadays, like, that shit smell like bubblegum in there.
That's probably one of the worst theaters I've been to. I can't say an IPIC.
Oh, and not to mention the street it's on is like one of the worst fucking streets you could drive.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, the fucking food itself is just blah.
Yeah. What's the worst stadium you ever been to then?
Worst stadium?
Ooh, we talking about venues now, people. Damn, that's a hard one.
Fuck.
I can tell you my worst, I know people have to shit all over me for this one. The worst stadium I've been to in California, if I had to say them, is fucking Dodger Stadium.
Probably going to say Dodger Stadium.
That stadium sucks, dude. Yeah. That stadium sucks.
Have they remodeled at all?
No.
I went once, but it was in, I was in like 10th grade or some shit like that, maybe 11th grade.
That wasn't that long
ago. That's the only time I went, yeah.
Yeah, they remodeled it. They put up COVID testing centers in it. I mean,
but that's where I got my first COVID test at Dodger Stadium.
And it was still the same, right? He was like, yeah, it's a bitch to get in here.
Yeah, if I recall.
You got to go up this hill just to get into the fucking parking lot and shit. So I went with Yoon one time, and this is like right around when he got his new truck. And so we went in his old car, though, in his old Honda. This motherfucker told me the AC don't work. It was one of them blazing hot days. Oh,
Jesus. Hey, you talk about recipe for disaster.
So I can't remember what his car was doing, but for some reason, the heater would come on when he was going up a hill or some shit. And I'm sitting in the front row and I'm just going in the front seat. I'm like, yo, I'm fucking burning, dude. What the hell is going on? He's like, oh, my bad. I got the heater on right now. I said, yo. I said, motherfucker, you should just let me drive. He was just like, hey, man. He's like, you getting this free luxury ride up to the stadium? I said, you know, when you get a new car, you just don't want to drive it as much and you don't want people touching it and scratching and shit. That was Yoon when he first got his new truck and shit. He was like, man, I didn't want to drive that truck up here. Shit, you know, that motherfuckers have been hitting it and shit. And I was like, you son of a bitch, you should just let me fucking drive. He was heating this shit. Dude, it was like 98 degrees outside. And then he had this fucking heater on at a fucking 82 or some shit like that. And I was just like, this motherfucker was trying to kill me. And I love it too because he knew that shit was on, but he didn't tell nobody. And I'm just sitting there, just fucking looking like that Key and Peele sketch when he was sweating and shit, whatever.
Right,
and I'm like,
I'm
sitting here wondering, and then I realize, why is hot air hitting me in the face when the window's up? So I roll down the window thinking some fucking air is gonna come through this bitch, Cody. And then I hit my head outside, and the fucking sunbeam just hit me right in the eye, and it just blinded my ass for a second. I was like, yeah, fuck this, dude. I know people in hotter states are probably like, yeah, suck it up. Man, fuck you too. Shit, I didn't move to California or live in California for that bullshit, all right? I live here for a perfect 75-degree weather. Right now, it's, say, 59 degrees, which I find that to be bullshit. It ain't that damn cold outside. That's impossible. drop by, you wrong. So yeah, Dodger Stadium, though, that stadium sucks ass. Like, you would think after winning that championship or even before COVID, they would have like said, you know what, maybe this is a good time to remodel some shit. But they said, fuck that. Angel Stadium is really nice. I don't really like the Angels, but their stadium is fucking nice. I like this little...
Yeah, I've only seen it from a distance, but it looks nice. Interesting, it does look nice.
They got like this little rock setup with a water slide, and then like fireworks come out of it when they score a home run and shit. Mm-hmm. And you should see Dodger Stadium when that shit score a home run. The only thing that lights up is the fucking scoreboard and shit. Just are we not 2020? I forgot what year we won that chip. 2021.
Yeah, 2020 is the chip. Yeah,
exactly. 2020 champions are here, and we can't get a fucking.
And the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken, one of the most storied franchises in MLB, going back to their Brooklyn days.
Why does our stadium look like shit then?
So how the fuck do we not have it? Doesn't Magic Johnson own a part of that team?
I think he just sold it, if I'm not mistaken.
Or did he sell it? Okay.
I think he just sold, like, literally, like, maybe like a half a year.
Had no excuse.
But they still had it, though. So, you know, they rolling in dough. So, yeah, they have no goddamn excuse. Especially when every other state. Man, the Met Stadium had got updated a few years ago. Mets ain't winning shit.
Mets, that's always New York's B team.
Yeah.
Oh, they like the Clippers.
And they in the projects, too, of Queens, okay? And they can get their shit updated, Cody.
No excuse.
They got no excuse. L.A. just like, nice. Man, fuck it. They ain't nobody paying attention to this state. Mm-hmm. We just give them these shitty-ass Dodger dogs. These motherfuckers will be happy with everything. Which, by the way, they don't even sell those no more.
Oh, yeah, I remember we had the conversation.
Yeah, they don't sell Dodger dogs no more. I mean, Dodger dogs were shit anyway, so, I mean, people, they was fooling y'all. They was just putting fucking hot dog on a bun and putting some relish on that bitch, calling you saying it was a Dodger dog. Hey, it was fooling y'all. Y'all was buying that shit up for $10 a pop and shit, talking about like, ooh, don't nothing be a Dodger dog. It's just fucking relish.
It's just relish and a pork beef hot dog. You buy that store. They literally started selling the stores after a while. Like, yeah, buy it here. You can go to the stadium. Just buy it.
They sell that shit at Smart and Final, Cody. Yeah.
I remember it was a legendary dog. You couldn't get that shit anywhere. You had to go to Dodger Stadium to get the Dodger dog. And then after a while, just start selling that right. You see Ralph and shit. Wherever. Albertson, wherever you store, Smart Vinyl, any of that
fucking
shit.
Street dogs you find in L.A. and Long Beach on the corner after a club night or whatever is more illustrious than the goddamn Dodger dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Which, goddamn
by the way, I saw a funny-ass meme lately. Somebody said the most entertaining part about going to a Laker game nowadays is the street dogs afterwards. Bad.
I'm not gonna lie. Last time I went to a Laker game, I think it was with me and Yoon, and them street dog people were out, dude. They were, and they was smelling good. I was like, ooh.
And you know them depressed Laker fans, they're looking for a great time. The street dogs are perfect.
I love it too, because
I need some happiness.
It usually be like some old little Latino woman that be serving them too. You could see the smile on her face. She like, I know y'all lost.
About to make all this money.
She's like, she over there shaking the mustard up. Like
she watches the game from outside. Like,
she's shaking that mustard and relish and be like, yeah, I got your Laker dog right here. Yeah, she puts that.
Yeah, say, who they playing tonight? Who they playing tonight? Oh, they're playing the Bulls. Oh yeah.
Oh, they playing anybody?
Oh, they got a game tonight? Money.
Oh, people, welcome to the last another edition here of The Last Drop. I'm your Godfather Whiskey. I'm JB.
I'm the Godfather of Craft Beer, Cody.
And since we're talking about it, it's really depressing right now to be a Laker fan. I got to tell you that right now.
I mean, we did win last night. Of course, this game I couldn't watch because I was watching the Batman while the game was on. But still, at least we got the dub, and it was against the Warriors, you know, who was my pick to win it all this year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. It don't mean shit. our ceiling is still first-round exit. But
Not according to Westbrook, Cody, if you saw his latest.
Man, Westbrook, shut the fuck up. I'm tired of hearing that mother. It's the same shit every game. I got to be better. I just got to, I don't know. The game before the last, he had an interview, and they asked some
against the Clippers.
I I think it was his game. They asked what his expectations were going
to be. Yeah, I was just about to bring this up.
And he said, I had no, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, please just leave.
I had no expectations.
I have
the fucking Lakers. Of course you have expectations.
I have a colleague that says his attitude is not the problem. I'm like, what do you mean it's not the problem?
His attitude is the entire problem.
It's the entire fucking problem. He was just like, my problem was when first kicked in, when he first said, oh, if I win a championship, if we win one, we win one. If we don't, we don't. The sun rises the next day. I was like, all right, get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, if you don't come here for that ring, then I don't know what the fuck you're here for, man. Like, if you, that's your whole being, especially as many years he's been in the fucking league.
He knows goddamn well that that's why he jumped at the chance to get traded to LA was for a fucking. He's playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis. Why the fuck else would you come here? Yeah, I get you from here. That's nice. But come on, man.
Look, when you get into that stadium, and you, Shaq says this all the time, when you walk into the, which, by the way, I love Shaq when he says, I ain't never got to respect the Clippers. They the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I never thought they were better than us. Okay, that's your problem.
Because they weren't at that time. They never
were. To me, they still ain't. But at this point, it's just like.
This season, yes. I'll give it to them.
Yeah. So I love Shaq mentality because he's saying they not angry. Why they not angry mm-hmm. about losing to the Clippers? Like, I'd be
pissed. Yeah, he was saying there would be a fight that night. That's what he was saying. If it was that three-peat Laker team,
oh,
it would be a fight.
I can only imagine the egos in that fucking locker room with mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Robert Horry and Derek Fisher and
Rick Fox and all them dudes. Yeah.
Oh, they would have been pissed. I mean, shit. Mm-hmm. I can only even imagine if it was the Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, and
even that.
Oh,
Gary Payton. Oh my God, he'd be Gary Payton. Come on, man.
Gary Payton would have fought both teams, Cody. He would have told the Clippers team to fuck mm-hmm. off, and he would have told the Lakers, man, fuck y'all too while you were there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just don't lose to the redheaded stepchild or whatever. Like, you ain't supposed to. Like, it's just fucking embarrassing.
And all four games at that. And then the last game, we got blown out.
About 20.
Over 20, what was it, 20 or 25, something like that.
22. It was 22. Okay. 20 fucking 2 points, Cody. 20 fucking 2 points. And then, like you said, they asking Westbrook.
And that was without PG and Kawhi.
Yeah. 20. 20, Cody. 20.
But this goes back to show you, there's another article I read that big names does not equal a good fit. A better fit
beats
big names all the time. That's why the Miami Heat were so successful when they went to the finals in 2020 when we beat them. Because mm-hmm. they had a great fit. They didn't have any big name other than Jimmy Butler. They didn't have huge names. Well, Bam Adebayo was coming up. That was it. And Gory Dragic, he was good. He was just a good role player.
I do love people shit on that Miami team, though, for making it to the finals. It's like, mm-hmm. It wasn't luck that they made it to the finals. You have to beat a team four fucking times.
That was a well-coached team, and they had a great roster.
Thank you.
That's why they went to the finals. I don't want to hear that shit.
Oh, but they were the fifth seed, Cody. That's like,
and guess who went next year and won the chip? Who they beat was the Bucks.
Thank you.
So, yeah. That Miami Heat team was legit. I don't want to hear that shit.
The Miami team is always legit on the East.
Mm-hmm.
The East was always lacking in the first fucking place for some parts or whatever. Yeah. Shit. So for that team to step up like it did, it always was legit. Yeah, they always a contender. Every fucking year they go into it, that team is a contender. Because that team, like you said, is always well coached. They know their rounds. They know how well they're supposed to play. They work as a team well. If they don't win, it's because the other teams were better.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that simple.
Yeah, that and probably the lack of stars that they probably have, whatever. But
that's exactly what the Suns and the Bucks did last year. They beat every team they were supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were supposed to be there.
I just love when people think like, oh, that's a fluke. In basketball, there is no fluke. Because you got a fucking series of seven.
You get with 4 out of 7.
Yeah, that ain't a fluke. You win 4 games or whatever. Like, you could say football could be a fluke, whatever, because one game I can beat you, next game, whatever. But best out of 7, Cody, you have to win 4 games.
I go back, same thing when Kawhi won with the Raptors. Was it 2019?
20,
and then people say, KD wasn't there and Klay Thompson was there. Yeah, I know. And they did what they were supposed to do, win without those dudes.
And that's another thing, too. When because they were saying that the Lakers only beat the Miami Heat that year because they didn't have their best player. And it's like that's not our fault.
Yeah.
that's not our problem. Whatever and shit.
What are you supposed to do?
Like that's not my problem at all. Whatever and shit. Like that's like saying on your profession, Cody, you got a certain job. Whatever and shit. And because let's just say so happenly you die, and next thing you know, numbers go down. Whatever. Hey, that's not my fault no more. I died. your whole point of having a backup is to be prepared for situations like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not prepared for situations like this without your best player, then shit. I know that's like the whole argument now of why like teams be losing. Oh, their best player wasn't here. Isn't that why you're supposed to prep for this?
Yeah.
You know, I think we found out in these past few years, especially with COVID now or ever, there's an opportunity here that some players might not be available. So we have to work around that. I think
nowadays that should be part of every coach's game plan, playing with injuries in mind.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, like you said, you brought up COVID. That pretty much has to be. Like, if you don't have any game plan, then why are you coaching? You shouldn't be hired.
I thought they were coaching like that. I guess not, because when they lose certain players or whatever, teams just be struggling. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why? And you know, the thing about the Lakers, they keep saying, oh, when Anthony Davis come back, Anthony Davis wasn't doing shit when he was there. So, like, I wish I started hearing that, actually. It was just like, yeah, he's getting on trade bounds with my ass right now, because I'm getting tired of his ass, too. He's getting so goddamn – nigga, do you want to retire or what? I just want to talk to him, just pull him to the side or whatever, I wouldn't do this because that motherfucker like 7'20" or something like that, you know? But I just want to slap the shit out of him and just be like, what the fuck wrong with you?
It's kind of scary being a Laker fan right now because
we temp seed.
Last year, I do believe we wouldn't want it if we were healthy.
Yeah.
This year, it's just the roster just terrible, awful.
Yeah.
And then next year, I don't know what the fuck that's going to look like.
Oh, gosh. You know, when we lost last year, I told you I wasn't worried about that loss. I was just like, gives us more time to get healthy, ready up. We get ready for next year. This year is so bad. It's just like, because I know people probably waiting, like, oh, JB going to say, wait till next year. No, I don't even know what, like Cody just, I don't even know what next year going to look like.
We literally just wasted a year of LeBron's prime.
And in
80s prime, whatever prime he has left when he's not, you know, fucking injured.
Is he retiring, Cody? What is he doing?
Yeah, so I don't know what the next best move for the Lakers are, honestly. We're in an interesting position.
We did nothing on the trade deadline. So
We couldn't offload Westbrook once that contract.
That motherfucker's making more than AD, too. That already blew my fucking mind. I was like, man, we actually paying this dude more.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't shit on Carmelo as much anymore because he's averaging 17 points, and maybe it's because I'm looking at Carmelo like, you should be doing more, but it's like he's a bench player at this point.
No, he's a bench player.
17 points is nice for a bench player to come off and pop in 17, but that's actually pretty nice, whatever. But that, and I can't even, I can't shit on LeBron for picking Westbrook. I can shit on that verse, but I can't even shit on LeBron either because, like, this motherfucker's averaging 27 to 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, whatever. It's like, and a dude in year 19, Cody, what more could you ask for?
Yeah.
He's playing his best goddamn year.
I think our problems this year, I think it traces all the way back to the trade deadline last year when we didn't deal for Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
If you would got
Mike Lowry.
Kyle Lowry. And then we passed up the chance of signing DeMar DeRozan, who was having an MVP season this year. We had those two, and would have kept Caruso.
And you know DeMar DeRozan wanted to come back to L.A. because he's from Compton. So
I think he had an interview with Shannon Sharp, if I'm not mistaken, where he said it was pretty much a done deal.
Yeah,
coming to L.A., but something happened.
I think he did, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
he's from Compton. He's a Compton boy. Compton, so yeah. I mean, I would have loved to have him back. Mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan's on a fucking hot streak right now, and I'd love to have him on the Lakers. I mean, that purple and gold would look so good on him right now. Ooh, wee. I would even say LeBron damn near playing better than he played in the year we won the championship, Cody.
I think so.
Like, I think he actually played 56 last night. Yeah. I think this is probably his best year he's played in a while now.
And
it don't mean shit. It don't mean shit.
Like, he's not even in the AVP conversation because we suck ass so much.
Because if you even bring it up, you'd be like, he's on a losing team, though. He's on a team that ain't going to make it to the playoffs. He on a team that might not even make it, barely can make it.
Yeah, we'll probably won't make the play.
make the play in. So I don't even know how you could even consider that an MVP, Cody. Like if you can't even make the fucking play in.
Yeah.
That Clippers loss was just, it kind of just drained the energy out of.
Yeah.
Wasn't like so much anger no more, because anger for days are beyond past now. It's just more of the like, all right, I'm drained.
I'm tired. I don't watch these dudes no more.
Yeah. I'm sounding like Charles Barkley now. I don't want to say their names anymore. Like,
that
Southern California team.
Yeah, it's so sad, but it's true right now. We're just that SoCal team.
A bunch of my colleagues, a few of them are anti-Laker fans, and they constantly shooting me emails and shit, and I can't say shit back or whatever. And just like,
you just leave can't say shit. Hey, I mean, you're right. Fuck.
Leave them with that dot dot dot. You know. Mm-hmm. You turn your notification to I'm free to I'm busy.
The new option that says fuck off.
Fuck you. Yeah. Somehow the Laker jerseys in my closet, Cody, switched from saying Laker to Southern California.
I mean, I've been getting a lot of emails from Laker store lady talking about authentic jerseys. You know, selling
shit. I want that shit right now.
I was looking at it like,
Laker jersey, do I want? I don't want no fucking. I don't even remember his fucking name, Westbrook. Yeah. I'm playing on his name now.
Yeah, no.
That interview, I think that interview pissed me off more though than the game did. I just could not. And then LeBron, look, brother, I know you ain't gonna talk bad about him, but I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing his interviews too, where he's just like, we just need to play better, we need to do this. Mm-hmm. And then Frank Vogel brings his ass on there, we're working on this, and that, bitch, you ain't working on shit. You ain't working on shit. I don't know what y'all working on at this point, because it looked like y'all been playing the same fucking game of basketball for the past 28 games now? Damn, actually 30, bro.
We're like, 62 games in, I think, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So they've been playing the same fucking way. There's been no improvement. Have you seen any improvement from this team, Cody?
It's literally the same thing each game. Literally the same thing.
It's the same problems that we've been talking about for the first five games up to this now. Mm-hmm. It's the same problems, the turnovers, the defense, the lack of knowing one's position, the team startup here, possibly the coaching too. I don't even fucking know at this point anymore. I really don't know anymore. It's so bad all around. It's just like, I don't even fucking know now. I mean, the offense is fine, but you know, sometimes I watch some of the offense and I go like, Westbrook just aired that ball three times in a row and had no goddamn shame about it. Ben Simmons, motherfucker, you should be watching this motherfucker and be like, I should have all the confidence in the world. Cody, if you got signed in the NBA today, if you saw Russell Westbrook playing, would you even give a fuck about airballing at this point? Like, you'd be like,
no.
This motherfucker airballs.
That's his game.
Cody, he airballs seven times regularly in a fucking game now. And it's like,
that's why he got the nickname Westbrook. What do you think he came from? He didn't come out of nowhere.
That got to be changed to airball. So, I don't know how you rhyme that somehow or whatever, but we got to find a rhyme to where put that in his name, because I'm seeing less bricks and more airs.
at least he's changing his substance state up. He went from a solid to a gaseous form.
I think I'd rather brick than airball. I'd rather brick than airball.
Y'all would rather brick, because at least you're catching something. You know, you're hitting the rim.
It's getting so bad, Cody. Motherfuckers don't even stick him when he does the jump shot now. They don't even do anything.
Yeah, it's like, Russell Westbrook about to shoot? Okay, everybody back up. Get ready for the rebound.
I mean, that him getting 17 points in a game, that's just out of fucking the law of gravity now at this point.
Dude, we should have known from that series when we played Houston in the bubble in 2020. I think it was the first time
I forgot about
playoff. Remember every time Westbrook had the ball on the perimeter, all the Lakers players backed up.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, we signed his ass, expecting him to be a better shooter. Get the fuck out of here.
That was our fault. We were smoking some shit. We've already explained our reason. We thought him coming to this team, he would step his fucking game up or something like that.
I at least thought he would, alter his game to fit the team. Like, I think he would have been perfect leading that second unit. That would have been perfect, Westbrook. Because otherwise, the fit doesn't fucking work. And clearly, obviously, it does not work.
I'm not even an athlete, and my mindset is already like, if I play for a team like the Rockets, which I know ain't never going to go nowhere, and I got traded over to the Lakers, my mindset's got to be a completely different one. I should be thankful that I'm on a team that we possibly got a chance here or whatever and shit. you know, and they would make me want to step my game up. I'd be constantly playing in the background or whatever and shit. Even like, you know how like pitchers practice and shit for baseball? You see dugout and they be practicing and shit. Somewhere there should be like a little Fisher Price court where Westbrook should be practicing on, just shooting and shit. just practicing and shit. Instead, he's sitting over there trying to comfort LeBron and AD like, my bad, dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LeBron AD ain't even having it.
You know the they want to tell him off.
It's like, nah.
You know LeBron, like, damn, Bronny, hurry up and get up and leave.
Please.
Hurry up so I can just get the fuck away. That'll be my excuse to get away. Mm-hmm. I got to get away. And you know, the Lakers would be a fool not to keep LeBron for that, because that'll be his last year if he played with his son, first of all. And you know one thing Lakers love is that money. Could you imagine if we had LeBron's tour, his go-away tour, his farewell tour, and we had Kobe's farewell tour? Come on. You can't let this brother leave L.A. Like, you can't even let this brother leave L.A. That would be just another foolish fucking remark. I don't care if you take his shitty son who don't know how to play yet. I mean, just sit in. You took Westbrook at this point, so what? What's another mediocre player at this point, whatever, you know? I watched a little bit of Bronny. I was not impressed at all, by the way. I was like, yeah, well, at least his father is LeBron, so he'll make it somewhere. But that interview he did where they asked him what his expectations was, you brought it up earlier. That's all I wanted to talk about here. And he got mad.
He got mad.
He was like, what do you think my expectations? Hold on. You're not. Tell me, what was my expectations? And then the reporter just flat out said, I don't know, winning games. You can tell these reporters, even they sound angry like this point. Mm-hmm. They're just like,
bro. They're low-key fans, too.
Yeah, because you can tell. Yeah. Like they sound like us. That's why. At this point, they really sound like us now at this point. They just like, we fans of this team, and we losing, and you sitting up here not taking accountability or whatever and shit, and we're like, your expectations got to be low. And they were trying to be nice with the question, but Westbrook's getting in their face, whatever, like, well, hold on, how do you know my expectation, whatever? Motherfucker, that's every player's expectations to win games. And then this motherfucker said, I had no expectations coming to this team. If I was Jeannie Buss, I'd be like, I don't give a fuck if he got a contract right now. Terminate that shit right now. Someone was telling me, oh, Jeannie will probably – I said, Jeannie don't watch these fucking games. Like, it's like, you know, what owner you know actually watches the games and shit? Probably – what's his name up there?
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Mark Cuban.
Clippers owner, Ballmer.
Yeah, Ballmer. You know Mark Cuban watching it. I mean, he damn near – I'm up there with Jerry Jones and for the Cowboys and shit. You know, the way he evolved with the fucking organization shit. But you know damn well Jeannie Buss ain't watching these fucking games. They're getting all these stats from the news and shit saying, wait a minute, hold on. 2 years ago, we won a championship. Hold on. Last year, you told me it was because of injuries, which is fine. What the fuck are these numbers right here? What are these? You ain't got to watch the game, Cody, to look at numbers and be like, this look like shit. This look like shit. So... Lakers, get your shit together, please. Or just go ahead and just be over already. Like I don't want to watch no more disappointments. Cody said we won last night. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know if we won last night because I just – my brain got turned off. So I was like, I think we playing tonight.
It might be. Let me check.
My brain got shut off, Cody, because I said, well, at this point, we've been playing so we win one game here and then lose three more that I kind of just don't give a fuck anymore. So if we could just hurry up and get this elimination over with, that'd be
We play Monday night, playing the Spurs.
We should win that. Actually, we should have won a lot of games. Because it's not like we played superior teams either, Cody.
No.
We probably played like maybe six superior teams, but the rest of them kind of been on the same level of us, or if not lower.
Yeah, I think both these past few losses have been against teams that were below 500.
Yeah. And we losing.
Yep.
What in the fuck? Russbrook said, he said, this is what Russbrook said in that interview, Cody. Is the season over?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, is the season over? I wish I was a reporter, because I would have yelled in the background, yeah. Yeah, it's over for you.
Yeah.
It ain't over for the Suns. It ain't over for Golden State. It looked like it might not even be over the Clippers, but it's, but for you, yeah, it's over. Yeah,
that was definitely over.
Did you see the look in Westbrook's face when he said that shit? He said that shit with, I was gonna say confidence, but let's just say delusion. Straight up delusion. Like, he believed it, Cody. He's the Joker. He believes in the shit he says, mm-hmm. Cody. He's just sitting up there like, season ain't over yet. He sound like a fan now. It ain't over till it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, no, bro. You need to live in this reality, bro. It's over.
Yeah, you need to look at this objectively because, yeah, this shit's beyond done. Come on now.
You can't even win 5 games in a row.
All of a sudden, he's going to spark up chemistry when the playoffs comes around in, like, what, the next month? Something like that?
Next 3 weeks, actually, yeah.
And AD might be coming back until, like, another, what, 2-3 weeks, some shit like that?
And with him, you never know what AD you're going to get anyway, so. Mm-hmm,
yeah. And if you do get a good AD, it might not last long because you're probably going to get injured in the same fucking game, so.
You know, did you think that there'd be a possibility we could have got I even yelled out, man, I would have taken anybody now, right now. Because my buddy was telling me, he's like, I hate to tell y'all this, but y'all done. I said, yeah, I knew that. Yeah. I said, it's so bad right now, I'd have took James Harden, I'd have took Ben Simmons, I'd have took every motherfucker I talked shit about this year, Cody.
It really wouldn't matter because we would have lost anyway. So it would have been the same thing. So I wouldn't
be mad. Put me a list together, Cody, of all the people we talk shit about this year. I'd have took any one of them.
Yeah, Harden, Simmons.
I would have took each one of them.
Those are the main, yeah.
I would have traded AD and fucking Westbrook, Cody, for both
Harden
of them.
Harden wouldn't fit at all, but fuck it. Same with Westbrook. Ben Simmons would be a better fit, but I don't think he solves the problem at all.
But I would have traded AD and Westbrook in a heartbeat for them two. I'd have been like, it don't make no sense, but sure, fuck it at this point.
Yeah, I think we need to aim for younger players these next couple seasons. Because this whole old shit, that kind of worked. Well, not kind of, it worked when we won 2020, but those motherfuckers weren't like old, and they could play defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where we need to start looking. Not just young players. I think we need to start looking at defensive players too.
I think so.
We need to really. We need to step. We need at least 2 good defensive players right now.
Yeah, we need some. Yeah, you know, we need some some wing. We need a fucking like dominant fucking center. We need a legit fucking center.
Yeah, a legit center. We need a legit fucking center. We need some defensive players, and we just need to end Westbrook's contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of those things sound complicated. The other two sounds very doable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been throwing this out. I threw this out 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to throw it out one more time. Hey, Clippers, you getting that new stadium? Hey, look, man, we want to just take this Negro. Just take him.
Dude, I'll be happy to be also over Westbrook.
He don't want to leave L.A. Yeah. He might put up a fight. He might not even want to leave, Cody. I know for a fact.
I might do a one-for-one trade Westbrook for Zubac. Fuck it. I'll take Zubac.
Fuck it. We'll do it for free. He's a solid player. We'll do it for free. We'll don't take anybody. You just take this motherfucker.
I'll trade Westbrook for some depth.
I wish I was friends with LeBron because I would just like sit up to LeBron and be like, hey, man, why don't you be that seed inception Westbrook to go to Clippers? And put that seed in his head. Just be like, man, look at the Clippers' new stadium, man. It sure look nice. Oh, maybe I'll go play there, you know?
Yeah. You'd be the one to break the new stadium, man, Westbrook.
Man, you like, man, could be a star there, you know? Yeah. I mean, imagine a statue there of you. Man, ooh, man, you know, just plant that seed in his head. Because you know Westbrook's ego probably would take it. He'd be like, he probably wouldn't think nothing of it. Then he gets home. A statue of me. Damn. That would be nice. I like that. And I'm still in LA, so I'm not leaving really.
I think that he must have some salt towards Kawhi. I don't know if you remember Kawhi. I think Kawhi began trying to recruit Westbrook to the Clippers, but then he moved on to Paul George.
I'm not gonna lie, I forgot that Kawhi played on that team. I forgot.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in like over a year. So
in 36 games or some shit. Yeah. Like that. So, yeah, I completely forgot he even plays for that team, Cody. Yep. Wasn't even thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess he won't even go to the Clippers. I thought maybe we could just give them like a going away gift. Like, you know, we put Westbrook's ass in like a giant sized box and shit. Mm-hmm. So when it, and it's in the middle of their stadium and they're the center of their court. And when they wall walk on the court, be like, damn, Lakers show is nice. And he pops out like a gay mm-hmm. pride parade. Hello.
The team that makes the most sense for Westbrook to go to is honestly
anywhere but here.
His original team, OKC, Thunder. That makes the most sense.
Go anywhere, please.
Anywhere but here.
Yeah. I can give a fuck less where you go. Just go. What was the name of that Mario album? Go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exclamation mark on that shit. Yeah, yep. Well, go. Go. Go far.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right now we're in that Kendrick Lamar on Damn. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying right now.
Shit, we like that animated goddamn movie from Disney. 5-0 go home. Yeah, well, 5-0 go. You 5-0 and you go home. Shit, we're gonna take that 5-0 and we're just gonna say, oh, go home. Shit, oh, go home, please. Oh, anyway, people, it is Whiskey Week here. And oh man, I forgot. I think we just went on like a long ass Laker
rant. That was a long ass Laker rant. Might be a weekly thing. I'm not gonna
lie. Have that like I don't think it'll be weekly anymore, Cutter, because it'll be done like in the next
kind of soon, huh? Yeah, playoffs coming around. Yeah, that's true. You're right, you're right.
I think we got like one more week of it before we know, to be honest. It is St. Patty's month.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. It is.
Yeah, it's when those Irish people get together and just start drinking their ass off, Cody. It's the one day a year where we celebrate that thing we love to do the most. Drinking.
Yep.
And it's funny because it's the one day, well, for us it's every day, but it's that one day of the year that the country looks at and go like, nah, go ahead and pull about 3 beers in your system and go ahead and get that road, you know? Get on that road and just go ahead and drive down the street.
Let's do it, yeah.
just mow down some cars or whatever and shit, you know? Put them dark sunglasses on and play some Kaminsky and like, your eyes brighten up red and shit.
Yeah.
You
know, just... yep.
You think it's a Terminator shit and you realize, oh, no, that motherfucker just been drinking. His eyes are blushed. That 1 month a year, on that one day a year, Cody. It
really is some renegade shit.
St. Patty's Day is renegade day.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you see motherfuckers wearing green because they don't know color patterns at this point, you know? They so fucked up, they're just like, man, whatever, man, just put that goddamn green on me. And me and Cody back in our younger 20s, we would celebrate that day with a lot of fun activities, if you will. Well, you know, a lot of passing out in cars and shit, and one dumbass out of the two of us, or whatever, saying, "I can make it. I think I can make it home.
I got this. Don't you worry. Put the key in and shit.
The key up, like, why won't you go in?" Nowadays, Cody, I don't have that problem because the key is a push button.
Yes. Technology.
Yeah, you push the button and you go like, yeah, I must be good. Shit, I found that button, so yeah. That was literally probably one of the worst nights of like stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, at least Cody like passed out in his back seat. I mean, who the fuck did a magic trick? I'm fucking saying, abracadabra, door open, the next time I should close. At least you didn't do what Yoon did. The motherfucker left the door open.
Oh my God.
With the engine running.
Oh no. Oh my God, he did that?
And as a good friend as me, what do you think I did? I'm gonna take some photos real quick.
Then you let the car on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was all right. We just gonna leave him now. All right, we go.
Die of carbon monoxide. No big deal.
He's from Korea, Cody. Come on. He smelled worse. You know, I mean, Asia got those bombs over there one time, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, he was around. He's old enough to know what those smell like. So, you know, he's fine. You know, you can't kill a Korean. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. They don't die by like little shit like that. You know, he'd be fine. Watch 20 years from now, find out his lungs all fucked up, collapsing on each other and shit.
Got that black lung like the Arthur and Red Dead Redemption 2.
I'll be sitting there crying, what happened to my friend or whatever? And then the doctor looking like, have you ever inhaled carbon monoxide? And I'm standing there going like, I always told Cody, you be my friend. You're going to die around me one day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's only rare that I kill some of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I can't kill is Jermell because he'll end up killing himself. But
Yeah, that's the only one. Yeah, yeah. But so, he's an exception. He's from like another fucking planet. So
yeah, some dude kill. Gonna shoot his ass or fucking his gay girlfriend. So, he's in his 40s, people, by the way. I just want to put that out there. Never change, Cody. Never change. Never change. Anyway, speaking of Yoon bought me this bottle. I went out with him since it's Irish whiskey or Irish, or I guess it's Irish whiskey and beer, to be honest, whatever, because motherfuckers be turning their beer green and shit like that. I remember back in my early 20s, Cody, I thought that shit was a magic trick. How you do that? Oh, and then you'd be sitting there thinking the beer tastes better and shit when it's just colored food.
No, it's just cut food dye. Yeah.
Just food dye. You just like, damn, man, that young JB, man, he was just impressed by colors and shit. And he's just like, oh, this beer tastes good. What you put in this? I got to tip you higher for that one now. So for St. Patty's month here, I'm opening up things here with the good old Red Spot 15.
Oh, Red Spot. Nice.
Old Faithful. Oh, man, I was about to say, is it April or March? I already forgot. But anyway, so Yoon bought me this bottle. I think technically he bought it for himself, and then he just gave it to me. But how it worked out is we went to this store. I don't even remember why we went to this store, neither. We might have been drinking, and he might have got fucked up and said, let's go somewhere and spend some money or some shit like that. Anyway, we went to this store, and oh, he was looking for Blue Spot. And I think, oh, no, I knew a store that had Blue Spot for him or whatever. And I was like, let's go get it, whatever. And finally, they actually did have the Blue Spot. And if I can give a quick review of the Blue Spot, it's a 7-year-old and it tastes really fucking young. I got to say, I'm pretty shocked that people are impressed with that bottle. I was not that impressed. I see people buying this shit off the shelves. Like, it's like. Like, it's the greatest goddamn drink. Everybody I've talked to said it's amazing and it's incredible. We opened that thing right away, and I was like, that's it? I mean, I was not impressed. I just thought it was so light, Cody. I was like, oof, man. Man, because I know Cody wanted one too, whatever. Mm. I gave up on that once I sipped that, and I was just like, well, I don't want him to spend $140 on no shit like this now. This is pretty disappointing. I know a lot. I guess if you want to buy a bottle and sell it for $300, like other motherfuckers charging, then yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, make a profit off of it or something like that. But the 15-year-old still won for me. I was like, this is better. So we found it, and I told you, hey, look, he still got Red Spot too. I think he had one bottle on the shelf, and the store guy, I think he was selling it for, I got the price on the thing right here, $129.
Okay.
That's a steal.
Okay.
I think at Total Wine, they were selling it for $115 when I had bought mine. And I killed both of those bottles during quarantine, but they completely rested in peace. So for $129, he was like, you got any more? And the dude was like, I think I got one more in the back. This dude comes out with a box of three. And Yoon says, put them all in the bag. I looked at him and was just like, what? I think Yoon spent like $500 on Red Spot there or whatever.
Sound about right.
So he just gave me them. He said, here you go. I was just like, oh, well, all right, fuck it, I'll take it. So that's the story of how I got this one, because these kind of vanished off the shelves for a while too. I know we did this like on a, we opened this Red Spot before we started the last drop, actually, not this one, but we opened one before we started, in April around this time too, for St. Patty's Day. We did a bunch of Irish whiskey and I brought this, Red Spot 15 and we opened that up. So now we can officially here have it on the show. Oh, it already sounds beautiful. Oh, and I just spilled some on me. But don't worry, I'll suck that out of my pants later.
We know
these are like absorbing pants, so.
Oh, yeah. They're like paper towels.
Yeah. I usually use these pants for like jujitsu, so they're probably going to taste like sweat and.
Oh, that sounds appetizing.
And liquor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. My sweat tastes like fucking holy water, you know? What did Bikram says? His piss cures cancer. My sweat. My sweat will make you want to kill yourself. So I mean, so, that brother's piss cure cancer. We need to kidnap his ass and extract his piss real quick. Oh man! So look at that color right there. First of all, oh man, it's got like a light amberish color.
That looks very gold in the camera.
Yeah, straight gold. And doesn't help that my glass at the bottom of it is gold too, though. So, but yeah, it's got like a, I'd say like a medium ambers, a little bit light on the shade there. Oh, I love the aromas. It's got like that baked fruits, vanilla, apples. I remember the apple smell. That was always there. Like an orange peel. Some grain too. So this is 15 years old. One of the first 15-year-old whiskeys that we, or at least we enjoyed especially. and it was aged 15-year-old in bourbon cask. I think wine cask and what was it? Was it sherry cask? I think it was. Yeah, it was sherry cask. That's right. Yeah. So it was matured 15 years.
Look at right here. Yeah, bourbon, sherry, and Marsala.
Marsala. Yeah. Mm-hmm. NCF, non-chill filtered, of course. Always say things better. I found out too that this in the blue spot was discontinued, Cody. They just brought it back. So these bottles aren't even new. I asked you. Oh, shit. He's older than us. I said, you've been drinking Irish whiskey for a long time. When did you ever remember Blue Spot back in the day when I was like a youngin' or something like that? And he just said, I've never seen Blue Spot. And I was reading on both of them. Both were just discontinued that they brought back to the series of the family. And I was just like, could have fucking fooled me, I guess. But yeah, man, the Spot family remains my favorite Irish whiskey over the Redbreast now. I love the... although I did get a new bottle of Redbreast, I do want to try. So, oh, this smells good. We're gonna go ahead and get into them.
As you should. Mm.
The orange peel sticks out. Got some subtle hints of oranges in there. I just had this maybe like a month or two ago with Yoon. I didn't get this before. I'm getting like a little bit of pineapple now on it too.
Interesting.
Some fruits are all up in there. It's very rich. It's got this grainy backdrop. The finish is really short, though. It doesn't really linger at all. A lot of cinnamon is on the palate right there on the tip of the tongue. A lot of richness to it. It's very full. Very light on the palate. Doesn't feel like it's heavy, like it's overbearing, anything like that. It becomes an easy sipper. The apples now taste like more of like a baked apple. Yeah, or however you do the apple. I think it's baked apples, yeah. The palate is just like phenomenal. I love it. The finish has like a little mild spice on it too, but it completely fades away. So like the finish is like damn near non-existent, but it stays in the palate area, especially on the tip of the tongue area more so. It's all in around the range area. So, and it's a medium linger too on the palate. So it looked like they sacrificed the finish for the palate more. Which I have no problem with, I guess. I would prefer a long finish or a medium to long finish. But that's usually because the palate is like, I don't want to say forgetful, but it kind of fades away to the finish. But if you're going to keep a strong palate then whenever, then I guess it's okay to sacrifice the finish a little bit. I wouldn't say by this much, though. Because, yeah, now that I'm thinking, the finish is just non-existent. I love these bacon spices, though. Bacon spices and add a little bit of cinnamon on there. This comes out very rich. Like a nice Swiss chocolate.
That's different.
The wine cask, you can definitely tell it was aged in a wine cask. I think a lot of these spots, especially with the green spots, they have a lot of maturity in the wine cask. If I'm not mistaken, one of them that I have, I think it's mixed with Zinfandel, so it adds that little bit of bubbly pop to it. I think that's where the richness comes, though. It's from that wine cask. It's nice and sharp, too. And the sherry, obviously, that's where it's coming from, the sweetness.
Right.
I guess the bourbon cask is more of the vanilla and grainy tastes that I'm getting. So you kind of find its place with every thing it was aged in. It's a nice little combination. Bourbon, okay. Sherry, Marsala.
So let me ask you this. Do they all blend in together, all those different casks, barrels, or does one overtake the other? So it's like a nice...
It's a nice blend. I think that's why I probably like this one more, because you get three of those mixed in into one, you kind of feel like one will probably overpower the other or whatever. That's the one thing I like about the Spot family, too, is a lot of them are aged with wine cask or like sherry or something like that. This is the first one. I think the Blue Spot is with bourbon, too. I can't remember now, but I know this is one of the first ones that have the bourbon cask, too. But it just has this nice, perfect blend, too. Nothing overpowers the one or the other.
That's good.
Easy to sip on. As you can see, I've already fucking finished that glass all. It makes you want to go back for more. I love the red spot. The design of the bottle is dope. Comes in that nice can, obviously. Packaging is sweet. I like the aluminum can more than how the green spot is. The green spots are more in like the... Oh, these are tinfoil aluminum cans. And I think the green spot are more in like... like almost like a paper style can. I guess it's aluminum on the inside of it, but it's more paper on the outside. So, and we're in the red spot, it's just all aluminum. Yeah, man, I think I'm gonna drop a three on this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna drop a three on this. Not perfect, obviously, because the finish is just non-existent there. In a perfect world, there'd be a finish there that'd be like, ooh, that complements the palate. But I think that since the palate has this nice little medium length linger here, it really sticks with the bacon spices and cinnamon. I think it makes up for a little bit of the finish that's not there. Because normally I'd probably give that like a 2.5 or something like that. But you know what? I'll say that like since it complements it or not complements it, but it's adding where something is missing. I'll approve of that. But I'll drop a three on that. I feel comfortable dropping the three on that. Price is right, 120.
I was just about to ask you that. So will you pay 120 for this again?
Yeah, I would. I would easily pay 120 for this. If you got to get some Irish whiskey, everybody knows I like to mix it up a little bit. My Irish, Japanese, Taiwanese, bourbon, whatever. If I got to get some Irish whiskey, I'm always going to come to the Spot family. It's easy to find the green and yellow spots. Green spots, you can range between 50 and 80 bucks, depending on which variant you're getting. If it's mixed with the wine cask or if it's just regular green spot, it should be like 45. Yellow spot shot up. It's like $99 now. I think it's a 12-year-old. And then obviously we got the red spot 15-year. I'd pay another 120 for this. Even though this one was given to me, I'd pay 129 for this because they're hard to come by. And 129, I always say anything under 200 is always a win. But shit, even if you can go under 150, that's even more of a win. That's a hell of a good win right there. So, yeah, I would easily go 120 for this again. 15-year-old, I'm going to give that a 3, man. Dropping a 3 spot on that red spot. Let me go get some color dye now, and I'm going to turn just green.
Turn green. Yeah. Go take the flavor up a notch.
Let's see what 33-year-old JB thinks about that. I wanna, look at the colors. Ooh. I know I said that I was like years ago. I'm still impressed by colors, people. I see something light up. I go like, look at them colors, Cody.
Why do you think the show's artwork is so damn colorful?
Why do you think I'm in the neon lights? So I mean,
the coolers.
Yeah, I like colors, people. Yeah, they color beautiful. Yeah, it's so pretty. Yeah,
I sound like Simple Jack and shit.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm super simple when it comes to that. I'm simple, but yet I'm not. I'm complicated.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man, I love this this bottle design too. It's got like, I mean, it's just beautiful. So if you find a red spot out there, people, that's not over $200, then yeah. There's a spot on Santa Monica Boulevard. I forgot the name of it. I think it's called Frank's. Yeah, Frank's.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, oh, yeah, I remember that store. Yeah.
Oh, that shit. The fuck that store. That store is expensive. Yeah. That shit.
That's where you try to get that Tesla tequila, right?
Yeah, man. That shit
was like overpriced like a motherfucker.
Yeah, man. That shit. That's a museum. All right. That's what I'm going to start calling these liquor stores that clearly they don't want to sell shit. Except for whatever, like, shitty Corona or Budweiser mm-hmm. they're selling out that motherfucker or whatever. They're just a museum. That's why they have glass mm-hmm. cases and shit, Cody. They displaying shit, you know? They displaying these ancient artifacts that you don't really see. mm-hmm. And if you were to buy them... I was basically Killmonger in Black Panther when he went to that museum.
Yeah.
He looking at the... You got to basically kill that store owner. Just get this shit, you know, and have some crazy ass claw dude show up and shoot everybody up and whatever. And, you know, and he asks you, is that rare whiskey? And you're like, nah, but I like it though. And then you just grab it, you know, put that shit on. Basically, that scene has so much more meaning now, Cody.
Really does, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna start walking in the stores now like Killmonger and shit when I'm looking at liquor now. Just. Tell them about how they stole this from my ancestors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My ancestors being alcoholics and shit. I mean, all that. Not black people, but alcoholics.
Yeah.
Like, before Prohibition, you know, my, mm-hmm. my fellow alcoholics had that bottle.
Yeah. We fought for the right for you to be able to drink this.
Until you fucking... snoozy ass Europeans mm-hmm. came and jacked up the prices and shit on my mm-hmm. shit.
So, yeah. Paris on shit.
Man, hey, I'm man, Killmonger just makes too much sense now, man. I mean, he mm-hmm. he really is.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I ain't saying I would do what he did because, you know, I don't know if I could, you know, go through with it, but if someone's already done the work, I mean, I might be cheering that brother on, Cody. You know, I have to cheer this brother on, you know? I mean, I ain't saying I want to gather up all of the fair-skinned people and whip them, but Killmonger hangs you that whip, Cody, you know? Ah. You gonna deny the Killmonger, Cody?
Yeah, I won't know.
Best to get the beaten shit. I can see your brother doing being a denier, and we'd have to beat him, but, you know... I can see him now. Cody, what you doing, man? This is wrong. We can't be doing that. Like, hey, shut the fuck up and get down too, then. Shit, you take this beat like take this beating like a man. This is a bad comparison, but remember that scene in Planet of the Apes when they were in that jail cell and shit? And
why? It's a bad comparison.
It's such a bad that's all I can think of, Cody. And then you see that
Michael Pill, Planet of the Apes.
Damn. You see that Michael Jackson monkey come out of nowhere and shit. That's gonna be your brother when he hanging in all them fair skin after we didn't beat his ass because he tried to fucking save them and shit like that after opposing the mighty Killmonger. Don't worry, brother. I'm sorry, I couldn't think of another movie. That scene just stuck out on me.
I'm also sorry you couldn't think of another film than fucking Planet of the Apes.
I was thinking of the Michael Jackson. That's all I could think about. Cody, like, I'm sorry you couldn't think of a better film either.
Yeah. It can't even say the season one of Caesar. The Mark Clark Duncan one.
It could have been worse. I could have called him Michael Clark Duncan. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah, got a point there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, although he does kind of look, never mind. Anyway, though, people, so
bow your head.
You gonna take my pickle away?
I don't even start that fucking movie. It's gonna be a whole other rant. It's gonna be an hour, extra hour long. Nah, no, cut this shit off now.
Remember when we went to the we saw him.
I think a part of my soul died that night. Somebody actually cosplayed this motherfucker when I'm in public.
You was the one that pointed it out. You was like, "Hey, look at this motherfucker right there."
I was shocked. I was like, "Man, there's actually a black male went outside the house with that fucking costume on."
And mind you, remember when we approached him because I took a photo with him?
Oh yeah, he was in character and everything.
Remember when he whispered in my ear and my eyes got big? I was looking at you like. He did that. He did the whole speech pattern and shit. I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
He had that mouse in his hand too, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had the mouse and he was talking like, he was just like, go kill my mouse. I was like, oh. Oh, dude. You know what we should do next time? We should do Driving Miss Daisy for Halloween costumes, Cody. How about that? Put you in a get up, Cody. And put you in a get up. We get you a old white woman to ride in the backseat of your car or whatever. It'll be a strange Halloween costume because you can't get out the car, Cody. Uh-huh. Yeah, but when people ask, when you got the windows rolled down, be like, I'm driving Miss Daisy.
Oh my God.
Well, people, we out of here now. We done. Enough bringing up racial moments in our movie.
Oh my God.
Remember that trailer for Mark Clark Duncan in that movie?
Not really, honestly, no.
They always had him crying and the sparks was flying.
I gotta watch this fucking trailer again.
He's looking up at the sky.
Oh my God.
Stay tuned for that episode, people. Trailers that made you go, what the fuck they doing to black people? No, I'm just... Why did they do that to us? Oh, shit, man. The way Michael Clark Duncan was looking at that movie, shit, you'd have thought he found a teleporter to come out of slave time. And
yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, because he looked like
he was always sweaty.
Yeah. How is it that he looked more like a slave than they did in 12 Years a Slave? Like, how did that work out? Like, what was happening here?
Hollywood didn't give a fuck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That movie's old. Dude. That's back when it was like,
we know he's about like 99. Yeah,
we know he's an inmate, but dress him like a slave instead. Dress him like a slave.
Hey, he always looked worried. Motherfucker didn't have a single moment of peace at all. He was ready to die at any second.
Oh, shit. He better have won the Oscar that year. I don't know who won that year, but he better have won that fucking Oscar.
Oh, my God.
That motherfucker was crying his ass off through every goddamn scene and shit. Just always looking sad and worried and tearful and shit. I mean, he always looking like he about to break down, like they yanking his dick off or something like that. He always had that bottom lip quivering, too.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what the fuck going on right here? I mean, Tom Hanks was fucking him in that movie. Anyway. Bend over, boy. Yeah. We're done now.
Oh my God.
You should have a movie night tonight with them.
Hell no, I'm watching the Batman again. I ain't watching no fucking Green Mile.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
Do it for St. Patty's Day. Green, no. Come on. Green Mile.
I don't give a fuck. No.
You're like, where's your green at? And then you show them that movie. In my green. I'm going for the mile up the green, baby.
It's that real. It's the real old Hollywood slave talk. Oscar bait.
Oscar bait.
If you were black, the only way you get an Oscar is if you were a slave with a mystical magical Negro. One of the two.
He was both.
He was both. Oh, shit. Yes, sir. He had to win an Oscar that year, right?
That mystical powers and shit towards the end. He's just like, wait, what?
Yeah, he was like healing motherfuckers and shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was like the first Avenger, Cody.
That's true. All right, end this goddamn show.
All right, people. I gotta wrap this up before we get more racist.
Yeah, it's because.
All right, people. I'm your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JB.
Craft beer. Oh my god. And glasses will never be dry, and my soul will never be the same.
Oh shit.
Oh.
That's Nick Fury's origin story.